All right, hello, hello, hello. It is Broker Boys, emphasis on the broke. This is a podcast that is not financial advice at all. We're not your financial advocates. We're not lawyers, brokers, anything like that. But we are here to talk about where to start on episode one. Where to start? You are day one, and you want to get your money in there. You want to get your stocks going, find out what to do. So number one, I advise, you know, pump the brakes there and slow down a bit. Kind of look into paper trading. So paper trading is pretty much just a stock market simulator that prevents you from losing all your money when you try and go YOLO on a single stock. So there's no financial risk. Most of these apps or brokerages we're about to talk about will have it. So, yeah, check that out before you go buck wild and throw all your money away. That being said, let's talk about the first couple stock broker things. These first two are for those that don't want to really, it's just kind of like a click it, forget it, you know, whatever type of thing. First one, Acorn. So, Derek, what can you tell us about Acorn?
Thanks for having me on the show. Acorns is great for me. This is actually how one of the first apps I used when I got into investing. This is pretty much the easiest way to get into investing. It's completely automated. All you do is link your bank account. You answer a few questions, make sure you're a citizen and have a social security number. And then you can go about investing. As little as $5 a week, $5 a day, $5 whenever you want. And what they'll do is they'll invest it for you on what your tolerance for the market is. If you have a low tolerance for volatility or have a low tolerance for losing money, you can pick completely moderate or like very, very, you know, not aggressive. And they will slowly invest your money into long-term bonds and plays and ETFs that slowly go and match the market and go up and down and don't, and you know, kind of like what our grandparents would want us to do with their money. And then you can do it different ways. I personally am pretty aggressive in the market, and I will always be aggressive with my plays. So this for me is kind of a rainy day fund down the road. I don't plan on taking my money out of Acorns for quite some time, years and years, to be honest with you. And I do recurring investments. Basically, in my mind, the way I look at this is if I want to go out for a beer and some food, that's going to cost me $20, but I don't have to do it every night. So one of those nights a week, instead of going out and having a beer and food, I'm going to put it towards my future. And that's what I do with Acorns. And I have everything set up here. They do multiple different accounts. You can do just your normal account, which is your personal account. You can do stuff for your family, like your kids. And then you can do a retirement, like a 401k. And I highly recommend doing those options and checking into the Acorns. It is a paid app. So once you sign up, it is a monthly fee of a dollar at least. And then it goes from there, increments of $1, $3, and $5 throughout the way. They also offer an option to have a bank account through them. And I use that bank account as well. And it gives you extra little things called little recurring investments from your purchases. Spend $10, they'll round up your change and reinvest your change. And that's the coolest thing I think that Acorns does is even if you're not one that wants to watch the stock market every single day, even if you just swipe your credit card and have it linked to this account, you can go ahead and use it. And it's starting to every $5, it will reinvest $5 and $5 and $5. So if you're a person that uses your credit card a lot, this is a really neat app and quickly a way for you to make some quick dollars in the market, you know. But again, Acorns for me is definitely long term. If you're looking for more short term plays or more volatility, this is not the investment platform for you. Acorns does not advise and does not offer their services for people that want to make money overnight or want to make money in the short term market.
All right. Tron, do you have anything to add to that?
No.
So Tron over here is the poorest of the group.
Yep.
And so we're trying to get people like Tron to where he can be like, yeah, I have 10,000, 100,000 invested, and my future is pretty solid. So, I mean, I'm the baby of the group. So, we'll see what happens. Our goal is to, you know, get up there. But for the next app we have is Stash. A little bit of the same thing that we have going with Acorn, but is there anything really different with Stash compared to Acorn's, Derek? Or Tron?
Well, I was going to just say, like, I'm going to let Derek, talk about Stash and stuff, but talking about, like, literally the poorest of the group, like, literally paying for a bankruptcy lawyer now and going through all that, so... Because start with a clean slate and everything. I thoroughly like Stash. I, again, not very well off, put like 10% of my check into it, that it comes directly from my check onto a Stash or into my Stash account. I learned just now that Stash is a pay app. Oh, well. But like it was a dollar, so I didn't notice it for the like cheapest one. So, again. Oh, well, just didn't know it. But with putting 10% in and like us being just a couple months into the year, it's already grown where like I was able to pull some out because I needed some money. Now, like Derek said with Rob or not with that, but with.
Yeah, we don't talk about that evil app.
What was the other one?
He Who Must Not Be Named.
The Acorns, that it's not one for like. Quick gangs right away, and it's not something that like I would suggest putting money in with the thought of pulling out right away. I would totally use it as like I'm going to pull out money if absolutely needed or 5 years from now. But again, just putting 10% in, I was able to pull out of an emergency fund that I wouldn't have had normally with like normal living and not an investor mindset.
Sure, and thanks for that, man. That was I completely agree with everything you said about Stash. One thing, that's side note that maybe in another episode we could touch on is kind of like where you put your money and how liquid you want your money to be. You know, everyone should always have some sort of, you know, savings account. Making whether it be that's the way you think long term, but it should be some sort of fund where. Your car breaks down, you need new tires, you need, you know, a down payment on a new apartment, or you want to make a big purchase, you know, that should be money that's readily available. You have to go to the doctors or something like that. That should be something that you think about, you know, and then you have, you know, your fallback cash, you know, that's kind of your long-term. If I had to pull out from this, it's going to be penalties, you know, retirement starting funds, you know, and then you can have your investment portfolio, the money that you're willing to play with, Tron knows I like to talk about this as a dumpster fire. And I'm not saying that in a sense that we're just throwing money away. I'm saying that in a sense that this is money that you're literally willing to set on fire because you have nothing better to do with it. And if you don't have that kind of money, then Stash is definitely the app for you because it offers a little bit more involvement with your money compared to Acorns, where you're actually picking where it can go instead of just investing in long-term funds and, ETFs and other things like that. This actually lets you pick stocks. It lets you pick where your money goes, but it's all completely automated. You can set it up to do every day, every week, once a month, large amounts, small amounts. And the nice thing is you can even do upwards of $1 or $2. If you're not sure you want your money there, you can watch it for a while. One cool feature that I think Stash does better than most people is they have this thing called the Stash Stock Party. Once a week at a certain time, one of the days they will give away, you sign up to the website, you put your information in and they give you a free portion of a stock. And I know it sounds crazy, but it's 40 cents, 50 cents, but I've been doing the stock party for almost a year now and I have some stocks already up to $5. So I'll take a free $5 from logging into a website that's guaranteed to be owned. That's my share, you know, so I appreciate that. It's kind of a little give back for me. Especially since it's a paid app, most of those 60 cents or 50 cents that I've gotten have gone over a dollar, which pays for a monthly subscription to Stash. So it's a win-win if you think about it that way. But Stash is also like Acorns where you have your beginner account, just your normal personal account. You can do a retirement 401k, and you can set up a custodial for your kids as well, which is really cool. And they do a bank account too. The nice thing between Stash and Acorns, when they reinvest your money, you know, say you like to buy Nike, or say you like to buy, you know, your groceries at a certain grocery store like Walmart or Target, you can actually buy them through their bank accounts and then get, you know, 2% or 3% of your purchase actually invested in your account directly into that stock. Or like my card is linked to directly reinvesting every time I swipe my card into Tesla, because I like that stock. And it's one of those things where for long term, I think Tesla is going to be a long term hold and one of those ones that people should always have in their account. So it's neat for me to be able to get chump change invested over and over and over again into my account in that stock when it's trading at $600 a share. So
great point. One other thing you guys totally forgot about, which Stash, again, poor guy, got the Stash card when I use it for like Lyft or Uber. And there, I have the roundup on it. So like whatever dollar amount, like if there's change left, it'll buy Lyft stock or Uber stock or whatever stock that I swiped it with, and it'll round it up to the next nearest dollar.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was super random. I was like, oh, wow, how do I own like 90 cents of Lyft?
Yep, so most of my actual monthly subscriptions, Netflix, Spotify, you know, Disney Plus, all that stuff are actually linked to my Stash card, and I deposit money each month for those subscriptions to go out. So I'm constantly investing in companies like Netflix and Spotify and Disney and anything else. I mean, if you think about the prices of those stocks, you know, Spotify is an $800, you know, Netflix $400, you know, Disney $200. We just talked about that earlier today.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things where if I can continually, you know, pay a $7 subscription, why not get a couple pennies reinvested right back in the stock that I already own and I'm already holding anyway. So it's like a win-win, you know? So, yes, it does affect your share price a little bit because your shares will fluctuate by the pennies. So you won't have obviously the premium price on your low buy-in price. But at the same time, you're still gaining small amounts of shares.
It's pretty sweet. I mean, and we are not endorsed by either of these companies.
These are just apps that we use and that we have our already money in. And the nice thing about these things is if you ever want to get started, there are sign-up bonuses. Sometimes if you refer a friend or you sign up at a certain time, they'll give you $25 to $50. It's pretty sweet. You can also look on many social media platforms for a code to get to activate it as soon as you sign up.
Yeah, we can even put a Tron's code in the episode description. So if you want to sign up through Tron, you can do that and send him a couple shekels because he is the poor one of the
group. I didn't even know it was publicly traded.
What, Stashes?
No, Funko.
Yeah.
So you know how I have those Funko Pops in my room?
Yeah.
Huge Funko fan. I was showing him, like, so right now it's sitting at 13, right?
Yeah.
If you went to right pre-pandemic, it was sitting at 342.
It's crazy.
And then over the whole year, the high point was at 28, sorry.
Crazy. I didn't even know it was a publicly traded company.
Yeah, they don't do dividends or anything, though.
Yeah, whatever. So now if that's not really for you and you want to, you know, jump into the GME madness or the AMC madness, and, you know, this is where I am.
Trade some real stonks.
Trade some real stonks. And, yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here dying myself because I'm like, oh, no, I did that. Like, if you want to know what kind of an ape I am, I bought GameStop at 330.
Don't open a Robinhood account.
That Robinhood is a name we do not say.
We won't be using that app or talking about it on this podcast.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's probably going to come up. And, yeah, Robinhood screwed over a whole bunch of people.
The nice thing is right now, if you do have a Robinhood account and want to get rid of it, most brokerages are actually offering a free transfer fee, or they'll cover it as long as you have a certain amount in your account. I'm working with my accounts to move all my stuff off of that platform. I only have a couple $1,000 invested in it, but I don't like using it anymore because of what they did with the whole halting. And I've had some user issues or some interface issues with Robinhood, not filling my positions when I wanted them filled, not being slowly filled, missing entry points, and I'm just not interested in using that app anymore. So,
and if I do remember earlier, Webull was having a deal to where if you have 2,000 from another account get transferred over, say your Robinhood account, say you jumped on Robinhood because it looked good. If you jump over to Webull with like $2,000, you get your transfer fees refunded, and I think you get like two stocks?
Oh, no, yeah, it goes up to five.
Yeah, I think it's like five stocks if it's over 2,000. I don't think you get anything if it's just under that, though.
Yeah, not a bad thing for Webull. I mean, that's to segue into the next thing you were going into. Webull is what I use as my brokerage right now, and I'm thoroughly impressed. I think the technology they put into it is great. I think the free trading and trading on margin, everything works great, all that stuff. I think it's a complex app, but very user-friendly if you understand it and how to actually trade and look at the proper way to trade options and buy and sell stocks. It does give you availability to do stop losses. The only thing that the only downside to this is excuse me, is that it doesn't have partial shares.
Yeah.
So that's the only downside to Webull that I found so far. But I imagine with a lot of people transferring from Robinhood and other brokerages and trying it out, that Webull will slowly but surely add this feature. They added crypto pretty much overnight when the crypto boom happened. So to open a crypto market is probably just one closer step to adding partial shares. But I have had zero issues with their customer service, understanding the technology that they're trying to use. They have a community forum pages as well. So say you like a stock and you want to know about it, and you can see actually there's comment pages that you can go on that are directly other Webull users trading on this platform that can set you up and answer questions and discuss different things on there too. So a pretty cool app that they've gotten here, and it's gotten a lot better. I've been using it for about a year now. Got into it probably say June during the pandemic, and threw some money at it because someone gave me a link to get some free stocks, and I went away with it and kind of taught myself how to do it. The nice thing is they have charts all the way down to 5 minutes, where Robinhood can't do charts lower than just one day. So if you're,
I think they do an hour now.
An hour chart.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at to time your trades and looking for the right entry point and down to that, Webull just has a little more better technology involved with that.
It's still the day on Robinhood.
You can't. I can go live on mine.
Can you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I guess when you're in trading, it can probably have it probably has a live option.
Okay.
When the market's open.
Okay, when market's open.
Yeah, yeah.
Heard.
Yeah, when market's open.
Yep. But even then though, Webull's gets anywhere between all the way down to the 5 minute chart. So if you're day trading, definitely a good thing to have is those intermittent day times to look at your trades and whatnot. I also like go ahead.
I was just gonna say the only thing that's a little bit off-putting about Webull is when you first get into the app, it looks overwhelming. You're like, oh, what's
this? Absolutely.
And you're like, I don't know what to do. You can calm down. Webull also has paper trading. It has everything you need. And just give yourself like a good day of playing around with it. You'll easily find everything. Yep. It's really, it's easy.
Yeah, it makes you feel smart when you trade on it, because you understand how that the interface works. I was literally going to say the same thing, Alex. That I thought when I first got Webull, I was like, I almost thought that I bought like I wasn't doing or understood how to trade because all the other apps were so quickly like, press this button if you want to move forward. Yeah. Press this button if you want to move forward. And Webull's like, no, welcome to the stock market, bitch. You know what I mean? Like, you're gonna be in there, and it's neat too because it makes you look at charts more, and it really makes you, when the community starts commenting or posting their pictures of charts, like it's really neat to see and kind of bounce information off of their minds. And if they can do it, you can do it, and it just makes you think about your trade. It's not so brainless. This actually takes time and thought, and if you're going to put your money into something, you know, you might as well trade it on a platform that gives you the tools to make the proper trade.
All right. I mean, so that's the platform that Derek's using. There are other platforms as well. The one that I have found that is like kind of best overall is Fidelity. I've just opened an account with them, so I don't know too much about them. But yeah, it's an account minimum of $0, zero for stocks, ETFs, but there is a 65 cent for contracts. So if you want to do the contract game, you're going to be paying a little bit of money, but that's most everywhere you go. Fidelity does have the backing to pay you, unlike Robinhood. I mean, we're going to trash Robinhood all the way. So it becomes relentless. But yeah, we got Fidelity, but you have to be a U.S. citizen. Non-U.S. citizens cannot open an account. Sorry, guys. It's
definitely one of the more trusted platforms. They have, and the nice thing is everyone that we will talk about in here is backed by the Better Business Bureau. So being backed by those guys will also show you that it's a company that you guys can trust with your money. And I know that's one of the biggest things is trusting where your money is going. So one thing we didn't comment on just yet is the availability of funds. So with Acorns and Stash, it's a very slow process to get your money in and out. Your money will go in and you'll see your trades happen when they trade. So Stash only trades two times a day. They trade in the morning and they trade at night. They don't day trade. They don't have like the brokerage is open all day, but they make big trades in the morning and they make one big trade at night. And that's all the stocks that they buy for the day. So if you're looking to move money quickly, that's the difference between doing it yourself compared to the automation of those apps. Where Webull and now Fidelity is one more where you're actually in control on a quicker basis compared to those other two apps. But again, yeah, when people, you know, big questions that arise when people getting into investing, you know, the trust of them, where your money's going and whatnot, and the availability of it, you know, nowadays, you know, wire transfers and how quickly you can move money around, it does take less than a week to get it back out. So as long as you're not one that's, you know, needs it overnight or something like that, you know, the transfer availability of money is quicker than it's ever been in this kind of situation.
And that pretty much goes for anything in any stock. If you know, don't treat it like a bank account. Like some of these will allow you to get a bank card through them and you can use your cash immediately. But a lot of them, if you want to transfer it back out to your bank, it'll take, you know, 3 to 5 days, and it kind of sucks if you're like, oh no, I need that money for rent right now. So
yeah, it's no matter what platform, it's always going to be 3 to 5 days.
Or two things. Has nothing to do with this. I was just showing up. Didn't want you to feel left out.
Oh yeah.
But yeah,
because I'm looking on this the most hated app right now, but yeah, reading the article.
Hey, sometimes I can't say anything other than my personal experiences on that app, and I just don't like it anymore. And I think I've grown as a trader to the point where now where I feel comfortable enough using Webull that I feel like when I show people things on Webull, I'm like, yeah, I'm not just showing them fucking crayon lines. You know what I mean? I don't just draw with crayons or eat crayons. You know what I'm saying? I actually can pinpoint, like, look at this is where I entered.
I'm still sticking them up my nose.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm still sticking them up my nose, you know, for sure. But, you know.
But you've earned that right.
Yes. But it's also one of those things, too. I think it's just, like, me personally, I like using the best of the best. And it's, if you're going to not fill my positions when I want them filled, or slow trading, or not offer the best that you can offer, then I'm going to go with the best. Like Webull, you can trade at 4 a.m. It goes from 4 pre-market trading. I think it starts at 4 a.m.
4 a.m.
Yeah, your pre-market opens and then you can trade aftermarket until 8. So you can trade the entire day, the whole entire time that the market's actually open for trading.
I thought it was 8 a.m. till 4 p.m.
No, the Pre-market opens at 6 East Coast, so 4 our time.
Really? That's crazy.
Yes, 6 to 9, I thought. Because the market opens at 7 our time. You might want to look that up. Double check me. Fact check me. But I think I'm right. I think it opens at 6. 4 my time. Futures open at like 6 p.m. or 8 p.m.
Stock market hours. Let's see what it actually is. Webull. Come on. Just took me right back to the Webull.
It's going to say, keep going down. It's going to say something about the trading times.
Nope. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that. Go ahead and.
When is the pre-market open for the stock market?
Yeah, because I'm seeing here regular trading hours in the U.S. stock market exchange are from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Yeah, pre.
And I'm pretty sure like the pre-market is 7:30. To 4:30.
Pre-market trading in stocks occurs from 4 a.m. to 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. And after-hours trading on a day with a normal session takes place from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Many retail brokers offer to trade during these sessions, but many limit the types of orders that can be used.
That's crazy.
So it technically opens up at 2 a.m. our time. Yeah, that's wild. So I thought it was 6. I thought we had a couple extra hours.
Yeah, I thought it was just like 7:30 because that's when like my stocks start moving.
Yeah, that's when Robinhood lets you start trading.
Don't let them know that I use it. Damn. But so the next one.
We can edit that out.
I'm not. Yeah. Is a TD Ameritrade. It's the. From what I'm reading, it's the best for beginners, and it has a lot of education for it, so you can learn. I'm going to open an account through them just to see what it's like, to see if they actually offer good information, good intelligence just throughout the stock market so I can know what I'm doing. The cons is it doesn't really give you – investors are paid a tiny amount of interest on uninvested cash. That's a pro in my book.
It's like just a normal bank account. It'll pay you interest on it. But I was actually thinking about opening a new account to try something different. And I was looking at TD Ameritrade or Fidelity next. I actually used to have a TD Ameritrade back when I was a teenager. But that was been since liquidated. And I looked at it when I looked at Stash and Acorns to open. And I decided to go with a different one instead. That's why nothing against it. I think it's definitely good. You definitely see it on a lot of the social media platforms, so people using it. But I have no real opinion against it.
All right. And so for another one for advanced traders and international trading is Interactive Brokers. There's a $0 account minimum. You do have a maximum of 0.005 per share for the pro platform, or 1% of the trade value for the shares. Zero for Interactive Brokers Lite. So I don't use these guys. I haven't checked them out too much, but I have been seeing them around. Who knows? I might give them a check out. See what is going on in other countries. See if their shares are going up. See if I can go invest in Europe. Like I said, that we are brand new to all this, so we need some more education. And then Charles Schwab. It sounds fancy. It sounds like a place that you'd get jewelry or wedding ring for your wife.
Definitely one of the oldest names in the book for sure.
And they have money. They have financial backing. $0 account minimum, free stock and ETF trading, and 65 cents per contract. And check this one out. They have the Street Smart Edge ETF screeners, the best for among all online brokerages we've reviewed. I believe they also have paper trading as well. So it's a super duper old one. It's an old name, and it's more advanced. And if you're way far down the line and you're like, okay, I don't want to use any of these and I don't want to think about it, but I have a whole bunch of money that I want to spend, and you're listening to this podcast, well, thank you. But also go ahead and get yourself a real financial advisor and go ahead and hire a brokerage to manage your money. Hire a bank, hire somebody.
Yeah, we're not your guys.
We're not the guys.
And if, we want to be like you.
Yeah, we want to be the ones with, you know, $100,000, $1 million. But we're working there. So pretty much this podcast is all about making your money work for you. And we want to get Tron up to where he can start bragging on people. And
$100,000, baby. Can't wait.
$100,000?
That's a minimal.
I want to see you at a million.
Oh, we're going to get to the million, but goals.
Goals.
And the first one's the 100,000.
The first goal is going to be $10,000.
Nope, we're skipping that one. skip it altogether? Okay. Again, I don't know shit, so we're going to go with that real thing.
All right. But that's all we got for this week. We want to keep it short, sweet, to the point. And check us out next week. We got more stuff. We're going to cover... I don't even know what we're going to cover. We're going to figure it out. And if we said anything wrong, definitely email me, brokerboyspod@gmail.com. I'm going to get the YouTube channel up and running. I'm going to get the Twitter and the Instagram up and running. We're going to share all of our winnings, our losses. And
everybody loves lost porn.
Everyone loves lost porn. Yeah, you can see how badly I got slapped in GME. You can see the green Robin Hood in the background. Like, oh no, he's that guy. You can see my AMDs. Ugh. And also, you can use Cash App, but I do not advise it. So, but that's it. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week with more information.
Peace.
We're not your financial advisors.
Steph Curry to win the 3-point contest.